Love your big old expensive wireless plan with all the mystery fees and data overages on your bill every month.
Now tell me about it.
Well, what if I told you, Greeny, that you could keep the phone you love but pay a whole lot less every month?
How do I do that?
Just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. You can actually keep your exact same phone, your exact same number, even your exact same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying now.
Boom, that's a home run.
Out of the park.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month. With nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Three past the hour of 3 o'clock, gym class for a Thursday, getting ready to come your way right here on KGYM. Cal Eldred is going to join us, talk Major League Baseball, usually does on Tuesdays, but the guys had our hour up in Chicago, so we have moved Cal to Thursday. We will talk Major League Baseball with him. John Cranton from Jim Fight Sports in Las Vegas will be joining us as well, tell you about Iowa's new football player, also some state baseball results, and a little bit of high school girls basketball news. All that coming up here in the gym class in KGYM.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly.
We play that today, Mark Dukes. Not as a tribute to Will Ferrell or the fantastic movie Anchorman, but because we live in America and we have to have a certain day for everything. Well, ladies and gentlemen, happy National Scotch Day to you out there here on this Thursday, July the 27th. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, gym class coming your way for a Thursday here on KGYM. Did you know it was National Scotch Day?
I did indeed. I saw that earlier.
Okay. Yes. Rusty did not tell you that, right?
No. I'm sure he's aware, but if not, I'll make sure he is.
First of all, while we're speaking of our friend Rusty.
The Jack Daniels guy. Come on.
I know that, but it's close enough. Anyway.
Don't tell him that.
It's a brown drink.
He's not having scotch and coke, I guarantee you that.
Trumping all news today is the fact that we are about a month away from getting back into it again. You got the call last night.
I did get the call. I got a message. And retrieved it this morning, and it was from none other than Evergreen League Secretary Mike Hoskins, who has called a meeting to order next Wednesday for the 2017-18 version of Bowling Night in America.
Woo! Can't wait. Well, I can a little bit, but I'll be ready to go Wednesday after Labor Day, correct?
That's correct.
Nice. Doesn't that just warm your cockles, doesn't it?
Not particularly.
You're not into the bowling spirit as of yet. Well, that's good to look forward to. We're going to look forward to John Cranton joining us here in about 9 minutes or so, and then Cal Eldred's going to be joining us as well. We'll get an update on the Iowa Open tennis today as well. They did. Well, you can look at this two ways. State baseball tournament continues today as they got it started early this morning. I believe around 12:30 this morning they finished things up as far as the 4A quarterfinals from day one of Class 4A, as it was Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Iowa City West going at it, and it was all West High in that one as they won it 12-2 in six innings. Lindmar fell to Johnston last night, and that by a score of 7-1, and just a lot of interesting things coming out of Des Moines yesterday as in regard to the delays, the non-starting tarp on the field when it wasn't raining, etc., etc., etc. And I know talking with a few Lindmar folks, and talking with a few as well, they were not real happy yesterday.
Not in the least. And this game, Lindmar and Waukee was pushed back an hour the way it was because there was rain earlier in the day. The Prairie Johnston game was pushed back. So from when it was supposed to start to the time it did, we were a little after 8 o'clock. It was a 5.5 hour delay. I'm reading Jeff Johnson's piece this morning in the Gazette and talking to a couple Lindmar parents, they were not happy because the teams had warmed up in anticipation of starting the game pretty much, what, 2:30?
Around there anyway. First time.
Then the tarp comes on.
The anticipated rain coming through never materialized.
No. For 2 or 3 hours at least, it either did not rain or it was a mist or sprinkle. And Alan Bestie of the Iowa High School Athletic Association said, yeah, we probably made a mistake, but hindsight's 20/20.
They did.
I suspect this is as much about the iCubs who play at Principal Park.
They did
as
not want-
much about the iCubs and the Principal Park field as it was the High School Athletic Association.
Yeah, they did not want to get the field torn up.
Do I need to put it out there that the Cubs have a meteorology problem? You know, going back to the Cubs and Brewers at Wrigley Field and didn't really have a good read on the radar, and now this thing in Des Moines, and maybe the Cubs ought to consider that at the trade deadline.
A meteorologist?
To update the meteorology department.
319-366-1600. And there were, in all seriousness, there were a lot of people that took the day off, thought they'd have to not be able to go today. They did get the Lindmar game in last night. The Wash fans, the Iowa City West fans, they didn't get home until 3 o'clock in the morning today.
Mm-hmm. I kid about the Cubs. Come on.
319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line.
Kind of.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not a good situation.
No, the West Des Moines, Dowling, and Mason City, those two teams were supposed to play the late game last night, which never happened. It was played at 9 a.m. this morning, and Mason City had to stay overnight.
Yes. And play. No state tournament game should be played at 9 o'clock in the morning. Hmm. I don't care what the sport is. Yeah, cross country I get, because you want to run earlier in the day. I understand that. But a basketball game, a football game, baseball game, whatever the case may be, soccer, it shouldn't be played at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I have a simple solution, and it won't happen. Move it to Perfect Game Field.
Two venues. Used to be two venues.
Yeah, used to be.
And I love Principal
Carroll
Park.
And Marshalltown, right?
My son got to play at Principal Park. It's a great venue. I'm not saying it's not. Vet Stadium would also be a great venue. If they have two classes at one, two classes at the other, then you don't have to worry about having 7 days of perfect weather. But like you said, it's not going to happen because there's a sweetheart deal right now between the two parties involved. So it is what it is. And West did win last night. Dowling won today. Going on right now. Earlier today, 1A state semifinals. It was Mason City Newman shutting out Remsen St. Mary's. That by a score of 2-0. And it was also right now, they moved to the fifth, Martinsdale St. Mary's and Akron Westfield. Right now, it's Martinsdale St. Mary's on top 4-0.
Dyersville Beckman and Iowa City Regina coming up, right?
That is correct.
Right around this afternoon.
They are in the first 2A semifinal, and that will come up at 5 o'clock. Mention we got girls basketball news to let you know about. Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette tweeted this out, first one to do so, I believe, and that is the fact that a change of personnel as far as one of the top players in the state of Iowa, and that is Cam Finley is going to be going to Cedar Falls High School this coming year to play with the Cedar Falls Tigers. She has been with Lindmar her first 3 years. Going to her mother's family lives in the Cedar Falls area. This is, from all indications, very legitimate move. Going to be moving up there into the district, and we'll be playing with two other UNI recruits for a Cedar Falls team that made it all the way to the 5A championship game last year. And with three future UNI Panthers there, you got to think they might start the season pretty high in the old polls next year.
You would think. Finley's been a mainstay of the program since her freshman year, right?
Correct.
I've been in the lineup all along, and it'll be a blow to Linmar and certainly a benefit to Cedar Falls.
Yeah, Nate Sanderson, the new coach over there at Linmar. Linmar's still going to have a good team, but the centerpiece moving on with Cam Finley. Mentioned Iowa has a new football player, another graduate transfer here before we get to John Cranton coming up. The Hawkeyes bringing in Matt Quarles. He is a 6'1", 195-pound wide receiver from New Mexico. He's going to transfer from New Mexico. Very unusual case, Mark. He is going to have 2 years remaining. 2 years remaining. You don't usually see that as far as a graduate transfer is concerned. But he has already graduated. Graduated in 3 years from New Mexico. Obviously a very intelligent young man. And wants to be closer to his home. He's from the St. Louis area. Maybe Alex knows him. We should have asked him about that. Matt Quarles, last year, if you're looking for gaudy numbers, you're not going to find them. New Mexico runs the triple option with Bob Davey, first of all. And Matt Quarles, as I read from the Book of Phil, which would be the Phil Steele College Football Preview, let me see, how many pages this year? 352. We'll have Phil on as we get into August. And if you've looked at the Phil Steele magazine, you know he breaks things down so eloquently. He's got something to say about everything. He didn't mention this guy.
Mm.
Although he is listed in the projected starting lineup, was for the New Mexico Lobos. But he caught 11 passes last year for 180 yards and one touchdown. Mm. An average of about 16.5 yards per catch.
Well, as you mentioned, that's an option team, and New Mexico passed for fewer than 1,400 yards last year, and you would understand that, you know, receivers aren't going to have gaudy stats. I don't know if Quarles is a guy that's going to step in next to Matt Vandenberg and others and contribute right away. You would think a guy having seen the field would have some kind of chance to do that. And I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, that I think you've seen it more in basketball, but why would not football programs embrace this graduate transfer idea? I think it's a lot better than embracing the junior college route. Graduate transfers, by and large, are going to be available for 1 year. But if you could get a guy, and I always got, you know, got Ron Caluzzi, the punter, who was fantastic. James Butler coming in from Nevada, the running back, who's got pretty gaudy numbers out of the Mountain West. You would think he can contribute. Why not go ahead and, you know, establish a department of graduate transfers in your program and scour the country for these guys?
Yeah, I would agree with that. By the way, our friend Mr. Kuhn says he's a graduate of Hazelwood Central, same high school that produced Marvin McNutt.
Yeah.
The former Hawkeye, our friend, our coach of the Cedar Rapids Titans here in town. So we'll see. Hey, can't hurt the situation, right? Can't hurt.
You wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so.
And we'll see if he can help out there at the wide receiver spot. 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, if you want to weigh in.
The camp opens Sunday.
Correct.
Yeah, this is a pretty late edition.
Very late edition. Very late, but still going there. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, short break. John Cranton on the other side, and we'll talk a little baseball. We're going to talk some football as well, pro and college football with John, so stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Let your voice be heard this August 1st by voting for Plan Number 3 in the Linn County special election to determine how our Board of Supervisors will represent their local citizens. By electing one person from your district who is familiar with your part of the county and its residents, matters of importance that affect you can be better brought to the table. Remember to vote on August 1st. Plan Number 3 means letting your voice be heard. Paid for by the LCFB PAC.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great, and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
Back at 318, we're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit as well. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in. Iowa with a new wide receiver, and talked about him a little bit, coming from St. Louis and the University of New Mexico. Going to get set to bring in John Krantz from Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas. JimFeist.com is the website. You can follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Feist Sports. And John, happy National Scotch Day to you today.
National Scotch Day. Guys, I'm wearing a kilt and I got a scotch on ice in the other hand. So, am I covered?
I think you got it, buddy.
I do.
How was your vacation? I haven't talked to you since you got back.
Good. We got some warm weather in the northern New England mountains, which was unusual. Quite a few 80 days. And when you're sitting by a lake, that's all you do is swim when they get weather like that. So it's very relaxing and wonderful.
John, the Cubs and the White Sox wind up a series.
The team that was formerly,
formerly
known
the White
as
Sox.
The White Sox.
I finished up a series. Can you make any argument for the White Sox in this one?
Well, I'll tell you where the money's going, and it's been very stark here. Game opened about minus 190 on the Cubs, close to 2-1 favorite. Now we're looking at minus 240, so a lot of bettors are looking all over the Cubs, and there's plenty of good reasons for it because, you know, they don't have a great record overall, and on the road, just one win above 500, the defending champs are. However, they've already taken the lead over Milwaukee, and Milwaukee got smoked there earlier today, and the Cubs just playing great baseball. They seem to be clicking. A lot of people expected this to happen at some point, but we're seeing it now. A 10-2 run, a perfect 8-0 the last eight road games, and the offensive numbers, while that's really been the uneven weak spot for much of the season, and they're still ranked below average. However, that's not been a problem during this 10-2 run. They have three games where they scored 8 runs, three others where they scored 7, 9, and 10. So everything is clicking right now for them to come off an 8-3 win last night. 10 hits overall. Anthony Rizzo went crazy with 4 RBIs. And they get to throw another one of their aces here in John Lester, who's got a very strong overall number. It's got a high ERA on the road, 4.47. However, strong all-around numbers. The team is 6-2. His last 8 starts, he's off a pair of 3 hitters. Didn't go 9 innings in those, but went 7-8, beat the Cardinals 3-2 in Atlanta. And when this team faces a losing team, they're 10-1. And with John Lester, 38-17 when he starts, that is the definition of an ace. So I can understand why people are looking at the Cubbies tonight, despite the big number. And you got a rebuilding White Sox team. We knew they were going to rebuilding. Offensive numbers are below average just across the board, 25th in home runs, 24th in runs. And what really stands out is just the last 31 games, 8-23-1. They've lost 6 straight at home, a 2-10 run against winning teams. We're going to see Mike Pelfrey on the mound tonight. And the thing that stands out with him is the walks, 39 walks in 78 innings. You just can't do that. And keep in mind, the Cubs, they're 10th in baseball and on base percentage. They're not afraid to take free passes, so that's not a very good mix for the home team tonight. White Sox 5-16 against winning records. Kind of a high total here of 10, even 10.5. So that's the way I look at tonight's game. Got a weak Chicago White Sox offense. John Lester throwing well. So I'll look at it. It looks like a 6-2 final score. I think the Cubs roll, but not the highest scoring game that the odds makers are telling you it might be.
I'm having problems with Pelfrey being even in the league. I still cannot fathom how James Shields is still in organized baseball, but that's just me. Anyway, one of the teams in the NL Central, Cardinals, coming off a good run against Colorado Rockies. Now they turn their attention to the Arizona Diamondbacks. How about that game tonight?
A good matchup tonight. Pretty much even money it opened yesterday, and we're seeing some money on the Cubs, the Cardinals, -120, and you know, the Arizona team, fantastic record, 58-43, yet they're 12 games behind the Dodgers, the amazing Dodgers. Part of that is just the Diamondbacks' run of late, 6-12, not playing very good. Here they are on the road again. However, it's a very strong all-around team, top 10 in runs scored and on base percentage, and their pitching staff is number 2 in baseball. Would you imagine that? Right behind the Dodgers. So this is a very talented team that's capable of beating everybody despite the slump right now. He got a very good starter on the mound in Zach Gaudley tonight, 3.32 ERA. He's got solid numbers all the way around. He's actually had a great season with the exception of the last two games. That's something to keep in mind. He's kind of been hit hard, 11 innings pitched, 11 runs these last two games. But overall, he's had a great season, including on the road, where he has an incredible 44-9 strikeout-to-walk ratio and a strong ERA. So this guy is 27 years old, but he seems to have found a groove of late. And you got the Cardinals, who they're 11th in baseball and on-base percentage, kind of picking up the offense. We saw that with a nice three-game sweep of Colorado, a 10-5 route yesterday with 15 hits, and their pitching staff is top five in baseball. So tonight you get two of the top nine ERAs in baseball going tonight. On the mound, though, you got Luke Weaver going, 23 years old. Haven't seen much of him. He struggled last year, coming up 5.70 ERA, 1-4 record. But, boy, has he been dazzling at Memphis, 9-1 with a 1.91 ERA. He's going to be fun to watch tonight, as he is certainly on a red-hot groove this season. So I'll have to look at a defensive game tonight because of the pitching staff and maybe a 3-2 Cardinal win based on how Arizona's playing of late. But I can't see a high-scoring game in this one.
John, as you know, this is a time of eternal optimism in college football camps across the country. We heard a lot of that Monday and Tuesday at the Big Ten Football Media Days in Chicago. You provided us with conference championship odds, and it appears the Iowa Hawkeyes' odds have improved from the opening line, 20-1 down to 15-1 now. But I'm looking for some value, as opposed to just throwing away my money on Ohio State, and I don't know, maybe Northwestern at 15-1.
That's what I'm looking
at.
Northwestern at 15-1.
No, we'll make it three in a row there. I saw Iowa and Northwestern both 15-1, and it's quite a bit returning for Northwestern. 8 starters on both sides of the ball. Surprisingly great defense. I almost beat Ohio State last year. It was like a 3-touchdown underdog, and they got their starting quarterback back. Yeah, I agree with you guys, Northwestern. When you look at the other side of that division, the big three, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, yeah, you got Ohio State pretty much even money. And, they were great offensively last year, and yet the head coach Urban Meyer made some changes. He brings in Ryan Day as co-offensive coordinator with Kevin Wilson, who ran the Indiana Hoosiers. The thing about Wilson is no huddle Wilson. He ran wide open attack. So it'll be interesting to see if Ohio State, even though they had great balance last year, which Meyer likes, will be interesting to see if they open things up more and do a few more tricks on offense. And then the defense was one of the best in college football last year, as was Michigan, who's here at 9-2. But I'm going to have to discard Michigan as being a contender to win the Big Ten because they lost 17 starters. And, they got the starting quarterback back, but they lost so much, including the entire secondary. And then when I look at the schedule, normally you say, well, are they going to run the table or lose one game? Michigan has a tough game. They open against a great Florida Gator defense. They're on the road against Penn State and Wisconsin, and, of course, Ohio State at home, who they have struggled against. So I'm going to have to throw them out. And if you're looking for value, Penn State is 5-1, defending champs, and it's a team that's loaded across the board. James Franklin has had 5 straight top 25 recruiting classes. He certainly is earning his money and doing his job, and the talent they have back with McSorley and Barkley, yeah, they're capable of winning this one again. So I'm not going to look at Michigan-Ohio State as the game in the Big Ten in that conference. I'm going to look at the October 28th game, Penn State at Ohio State, which might be the real fun and big one.
Yeah, I'd tend to agree with you on Michigan, but that is a program that can reload awful quickly. So we'll see what Mr. Khaki can do there this year with Michigan.
Has several pairs of khakis, we learned, I believe, at Chicago and Big Ten Media.
Yeah, I'm noting here, John, that Iowa's opening game opponent, Wyoming, is 7-1 in the Mountain West Conference. That's the fourth best odds. But you look through that whole league, and there's about 8 or 9 teams at 25-1 or better. So that's going to be a good race.
Yeah, and that opening game, I've watched the line on that. It's pretty much settled at Iowa minus 13 for the opener. But what's interesting is what little money there has been on it, it's been all Wyoming money. It was something like a 90-10 ratio. So, and that would be largely sharp guys who jumped on it early. But it's right now is solid, and I think you'll see that right up until kickoff. Iowa about a 13-2 touchdown favorite in that one.
Wondering about Iowa State in the Big 12 right now. 75-1 to win the Big 12, which puts them ninth right now. Texas Tech at 70-1, and of course Kansas at 151. Oklahoma, Mr. Riley has walked into a good situation there. They're picked to win the whole thing. 5-6 odds to win the Big 12 is Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're absolutely loaded. That Stoops stepping down was unusual, but they ran the table in the conference last year, and they are the team to beat again. And boy, that offense is just so prolific the way they spread the field and attack, which we only saw recently with the Sooners, but you can bet they're going to keep that up again.
You got SEC is always interesting, John. Not surprisingly, Alabama about a even money bet to win that. But you also have LSU, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, all in that 5-1, 6-1 range, and then Tennessee at 18-1. So there's apparently four teams there that, the odds makers at least think will challenge Alabama.
Oh, yeah, they have to make Alabama just because of what they've done of late. But even a team like Texas A&M, they have a lot of rebuilding to do. But Kevin Sumlin has been brought in a lot of talent and speed. Here they are, 25-1. Another team that's capable of upsetting Bama at times, which we saw a couple of years ago, too, giving them a game. So, yeah, you're right. You don't look at the favorite in that one. It's kind of the longer shots because there's a lot of talented NFL-caliber talent on defense in quite a few of those SEC schools.
Other thing you gave us, we love prop bets here, talking prop bets with you at 329. John Cranton from Jim Fye Sports in Las Vegas joining us. You sent us some quarterback prop bets. And, of course, we like to look at the glass half full.
Where's Cutler on here?
type of situation here. I don't see Cutler anywhere.
You know he's calling the Bears opener?
Oh, is he?
Yes,
oh,
he is.
That should be must viewing. listed to throw the most interceptions this year. 2-1 for Joe Flacco, which kind of surprises me a little bit. Carson Palmer and Ben Roethlisberger right behind them. Matt Ryan at 9-1, interestingly enough, but I thought Flacco would be down the line a little bit, maybe somebody like Dalton or somebody like that up a little bit higher anyway. And listed to throw the most touchdown passes this year in the NFL, not a surprise, Rodgers and Brady both 9-5 in there, and just ahead of Drew Brees and Andrew Luck and Matt Ryan in there at 5. So you kind of got the same guys in all these categories as far as NFL quarterbacks are concerned.
Yeah, you have to look at the schedule and how they did in the off season as far as revamping their team. The one as far as the interceptions are concerned, these prop bets are fun to look at, but there's not as a lot of value. You really have to search, and that's unlike the old days. The old timers told me that back when the Twins and the Braves met in the World Series 35, that was like 400-1 to win the series on each one of them. And here they met in the World Series, and even as recently as 99 with the Rams getting there. With Kurt Warner, they were like 300-1. You don't see those kind of numbers anymore. It was just 10 years ago that I did a prop bet on Josh Beckett to lead the majors in wins. Well, he was the only 20-game winner, and I got him at 20-1 because he was a great arm with a great offensive team. But that was decent value. But now, with the numbers that you have mentioned, they just don't do that as much anymore. And what we notice in Vegas is we call them bean counters. They're more geared toward the accounting part of it. They'll look at a betting number and say, well, this is probably should be 300-1, but we can't take that kind of a hit. So they give you a much less odds. An example would be the 49ers. The Vegas over-under for wins for San Francisco, 4.5. Okay, they're going to be a lousy team. Well, to win the Super Bowl, 150-1. Come on, guys. They should be about 400-1 to win it all. So you have to be careful with some of these. For the DD ones, the interceptions. The two guys I single out would be Phillip Rivers and Blake Bortles. Rivers, there's no running game, no offensive line, bad defense. So Rivers is going to be throwing every down like last year. And so he'll have over 30 TDs, but he'll probably have 18 picks too. But at 5-2, there's no value there. Maybe Blake Bortles at 4-1, a little bit better value because the last 3 years, 17, 18, and 16 picks. He's not much of an NFL quarterback. I would go with him as a leading pick.
John Cranton, a prohibitive favorite, to give us a solid free play here, John, and then tell us about JimFeist.com.
Sure, we'll go to that Cubs game tonight against the White Sox. I'll look at under the total. You got two teams that are ranked 17th to 24th in runs scored, maybe a 62 final. If you're looking for sports information and free videos and stats and articles, you can check out jimfeist.com or just call the free pick number, toll-free number, 888-294-1970, or go to jimfeist.com.
All right, sounds good. Hey, John, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. We'll see you then, guys.
All right, John Krant joining us from Las Vegas. Quick break, come back with Cal Eldred on the other side, talking Major League Baseball right after this.
It's All-Pro tight end Rob Gronkowski, and nothing fuels my patented Gronk spike like all-natural Oberto beef jerky. Lean beef, slow-cooked, and seasoned to perfection. It's all-natural and all-delicious. Don't take a chance with some wimpy snack. Go with protein-packed, all-natural Oberto beef jerky.
Oberto beef jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Oberto's all-natural line of beef jerky. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
What you doing? Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye singing dog. Bye goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new Spicy Crispy Zinger Chicken Sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up for a limited time. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a hand-breaded Zinger Chicken Sandwich, wages, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger in a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
Gentlemen, JCPenney is celebrating Black Friday in July. This Friday and Saturday, save with amazing spotlight deals at Black Friday prices, like up to 60% off brands like Stafford, J. Farrar, Foundry, and more, including big and tall sizes, and select items like $7.99 St. John's Bay polos and shorts for $9.99. Plus, this is the only time of the year you can stack on your coupon and save an extra $10 on top of Black Friday prices. Hurry, end Saturday. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 7/26 to 7/29 on select items in-store and at jcp.com. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class. KGYM.
Back at 3:34 here on the Thursday edition of The Gym Class. KGYM. Tomorrow, Kevin Lehman, the talk college basketball with us and wrap up the summer, primetime league, etc. We'll do that on the Friday edition of the program right here from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Right now, we're going to bring in Cal Eldred and talk a little Major League Baseball. Usually joins us on Tuesdays, but joining us on Thursday this week. And Cal, how you doing? Whoop, let's hit this button and hit that button, and then I think we can bring Cal on. Cal, how are you? Unless I dropped him. Try it again. Cal, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Awesome.
Can you hear me?
That was my bad. That was an E4, by the way.
Well, it doesn't happen often, but you know, everybody makes a mistake time once in a while.
He was actually participating in National Scotch Day. So.
No, none of
one
that.
One too many times.
Cal, your Kansas City Royals, here they come, making a run right now against the Cleveland Indians in the American League Central.
Yeah, and the deal is Cleveland has been just as hot as the Royals. And I think the big story has been the Royals, really, because of how they started out so slow. And our guys just we dug a deep hole in April. And they've been playing so well, even before the break, that now you see, hey, they've got a lot of free agents, too. And so there's a lot of storylines going on down in Kansas City. But the bottom line is, look, Dayton Moore wants to win. These kids want to win. These guys want to win. The city of Kansas City wants to win, and that's what they're going to do everything they can to make happen.
Well, I want to ask you about my Twins, Cal, because there's reports out that now that, that they've fallen on hard times, losing 10 of 14, a tough road trip at the Dodgers, but everybody loses out there. They had a chance to win two of those. But beside the point, four games back in the wild card race, They did pick up Jaime Garcia, who's going to go tomorrow, I think. But now reports that maybe the Twins will be sellers with somebody like Irvin Santana. And I have my hard time wrapping my head and arms around this, because the one thing you know the Twins need is pitching. And then I know he's in his mid-30s and has a pretty big contract, but what would you do if you were the Twins?
I wouldn't want to give up Santana. He has kind of a big contract. You're right, Mark, but you still have to have somebody that, and Santana's been this guy that you can turn to when you've had a 3 or 4 game skid. Maybe it's a 7 or 8 game skid, and he's a guy that everybody knows that he can go out, and no matter, you know, all your offense has to do is score 1 or 2, and he's going to have a chance to win. Plus, when you have a guy like that in your rotation, it alleviates some of the pressure that your other starters feel. And there's a guy that can eat up some innings. Even if he's not winning every game that he pitches or mass majority of them, he still alleviates some of the pressure that's on the bullpen. And so there's lots of reasons to keep a guy like this. Plus, let's not forget that we were talking early in the season about them adding starting pitching way back then. That was something I thought they needed to do, especially because Kansas City wasn't playing well, Cleveland wasn't playing well, and the division was theirs. It was right in front of them. So I don't think they're that far away. I'm not saying that there's not maybe other pieces that they may sell because of the price tag, but Minnesota's not that far off. Plus, you've got a front office that just came in, and they're still evaluating all the talent in that organization, no question.
Was picking up a Garcia a good move?
You know, I mean, I have a lot of experience with Jaime, and if you needed a guy that could flat out spin you a great game, Jaime's that guy. I don't know that at the time they didn't realize the Royals were going to get as hot as they were, or the Cleveland was going to get as hot as they were. I don't know that I necessarily like that move that much, even though I know Jaime is a guy that's not going to overprice himself. But he's a guy also that is injury prone. Excuse me, and that's the last thing they need, is be paying somebody that's on the disabled list. Mm-hmm. I'm not a real big fan of that move, really.
Okay.
Yeah. Cal Elder joining us here on the Gym Class Thursday edition at 3:40 here on KGYM. It was inevitable. Cubs are in first place now, and the Milwaukee Brewers are sinking like a stone at this point. Just got absolutely thrashed today by the Washington Nationals. I think we're going to find out a lot about – we know how good the Cubs are. We know the talent that they have. Now, the question for me anyway, can they beat some good teams coming up? And they're going to get a chance to. They got the Brewers in Milwaukee, 3, Arizona, and then the Washington Nationals back-to-back, and then have to go to Arizona along with the trip out to San Francisco. So the Cubs are going to get some over 500 teams, and I believe they're 9 under against teams that are over 500 at this point. So we're going to find out a lot in the next 2 weeks about the National League Central.
Well, and I think for the Cubs, the first two teams that they're going to play coming up here are the most important. Lots of times you go to the West Coast, if you can come out of there 500 or just a little bit under because of the time change and a lot of their stuff, you're probably doing okay. But the Cubs are good teams. They go out there and play at least 500. That's what you see, especially in the second half of the season. But I'm going back to the fact that, look, Milwaukee's the team that's right behind Chicago. If the Cubs are really going to make a statement, they go to Milwaukee and they put a pounding on them. That's Milwaukee's reeling right now. They're going the wrong direction. And for Milwaukee, this is a great time to play the Cubs, because you're going to find out a lot about the players on your club and how good your club really is. And so there's some questions that are going to be answered about the Cubs and the Brewers coming up here quickly. And if you're St. Louis, you're thinking, is there any way we can get back into this thing? Because the Cubs go up there, they sweep Milwaukee, they're back with the St. Louis Cardinals at 7.5 games back, and that's a tough hill to climb. And then the Cubs, though, why I say the Nationals I think is important, because they're a team that they could face in the playoffs.
Yep.
And you got to start getting some momentum. and some confidence against those other good teams.
Looks like it would be the Nationals and the Cubs in the first round of the playoffs. So that's going to be very interesting coming up. But yeah, like you said, if the Cubs take care of business up at Miller Park, I mean, this thing could be 7-8 games by next weekend. And I think it's sayonara then for the rest. Even though the Pirates have been playing very good baseball and the Cardinals have been getting better, it would be over by then, I think, in the NL Central.
I can't argue with that. And then the other thing it does, the only tough thing it does for Milwaukee at that point is then puts them behind the eight ball in the wild card race. So this is a huge series for Milwaukee. It's something that St. Louis and Pittsburgh need to pay attention to. The issue is, and you guys know this, when you get to this time of the year, lots of divisional games are played. And whoever you see teams that are really good, that there's just two or three teams in their two teams in their division they can't beat. And if they're going to win a division, whoever's going to win a division is going to take care of business in the division.
Cal, do you expect Kansas City to stand pat between now and Monday?
I wouldn't be surprised if we make another move. With the addition of the relief pitchers that we picked up, we did trade Matt Strom. Great kid, a lot of potential. He's going to head over to San Diego. He's on the 60 ADL right now, but he's going to be fine. And that one kind of hurt because he's a hometown guy. But because we picked up those two, a couple of relievers, that moves some guys back to AAA that we really need as far as depth. Now, that puts us in a position to maybe make another deal. Not going to be a real big, headline deal, but we may make one or two small moves that probably won't be that surprising, but something that could really help solidify the club.
How about other buyers? We hear the Cubs interested, maybe Verlander, perhaps others. Would the Dodgers make a move now with Clayton Kershaw on the disabled list, although he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks? As far as the Cubs are concerned, not a lot there as far as the prospects are concerned. Maybe somebody want an Almora or a Happ or somebody like that. Do they want to trade one of those two guys to try to get some starting pitching?
Well, they can, and right now this player's name is escaping me. The Latin kid that plays third base in AAA. He's hitting over 300. There's a lot of teams that want that guy. and I cannot remember his name, but any of the Iowa Cub fans, they're gonna be mad at me because I cannot remember his name right now, but he is an excellent player and can play multiple positions. So they have some chips. You mentioned one of them, Happ. They've got some guys that they could trade if they really needed to. But really for the Cubs, they just need to play better. And they have been playing better. They've been doing the things they need to do and taking care of business. And it's right in front of them for them as far as for a team like I don't know. I mean, Sonny Gray, you have him under control through 2019. That makes him more attractive. So will the Nationals pull the trigger on that? The Yankees want to go do something like that? Or even the Dodgers are those big questions that they want. And do you guys really think that that Detroit would part ways with Verlander? That's a big question.
Yeah, I think they would if the price is right. They're going to ask an awful lot, I think, of Verlander, though. But Detroit right now, they're falling like a stone as well. They're thankful the White Sox are in the American League Central at this point. So but I think they trade him.
Yeah. What do you think, Mark?
Well, it's hard. That's really a hard one. Depends on what Detroit can get in return. I just saw Detroit when the Twins play them. They still got a nice lineup. And, everybody needs pitching. But I'd have a hard time believing they'll part with him.
I kind of agree. It's, if they could get – now, if he was having the season this year that he had last year, they could get a haul for this guy. Now we're talking about something different. But Detroit's not a team that's going to – I don't think they're going to turn around and do a whole makeover next year. So, to your point, guys, I think that it would be tough to see them trade him.
What about Darvish? The Texas shopping him, but he's got like 10 or 12 teams that he says he will not go to,
including the Cubs, yeah.
Well, sometimes, guys, I find this very interesting. When guys are in the middle of contracts or they're heading into free agent years, it's kind of amazing to me that teams will say, I don't want to go there. Well, if you want to go someplace that you have an opportunity to win. And at least that's my thought process. But and when you have a player that's saying that, then it becomes even tougher, because we can talk a lot about who should make a move and who's going to let somebody go. But there is, and I'm not the huge fan of always looking at down the road or looking at next year. But man, there is the compensation for free agents once they become whether they are guys, like we have three guys on our team that we could give qualifying offers to, and if they turn them down and they're signed by other teams, all the rules they're so different now. So this is having an effect on the trades that are being made now. It's way more complicated than do you just need somebody. But you know what? When it comes down to having a chance to win, you better get after it and make it happen.
Cal, maybe hitting close to home here, but Todd Bromekamp reported last week that your son CJ may sign with the Royals instead of return to Iowa next season. What can you tell us?
I can tell you that there is a 99.9% chance. And so, in other words, it's going to happen. CJ is going to sign with the Kansas City Royals. He had gone down there to do rehab. They offered an opportunity for him to come down and be rehabbed by their medical staff. It was something that once they got down there, the interesting thing is how this kind of got started was the six innings that CJ pitched this year, the one game that he did pitch this year, our top amateur scouts, two of them, and one of them being our top pitching guy, our national cross checker, were actually at the game and that he pitched against South Florida, and they were attending the game to see the shortstop for South Florida. And neither one of them had seen CJ pitch before, and once they did, they really liked him. So now that I think they feel like he's going to rebound from the surgery and have an, and he expressed interest in that he would sign, I believe that's what's going to happen, guys.
Yeah. Interesting.
There you go. Best of luck to him out there.
Just a couple days ago, he was throwing wiffle balls in the studio
right.
lot area.
That's right. And doing it very effectively.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, fellas. and you know, it's really pretty exciting for him. It's something that, you know, he grew up around. Luke has grown up around it. They both, I know, would like to have an opportunity to do that. And CJ saw this as the offer that the Royals were making, that he's just like, I can't turn this down. This is something I've always wanted to do. And man, you're right, Mark. It has happened really fast.
Yeah.
He was throwing pretty good curveballs out in the front yard. Not the reason he got hurt, though. It was a long time ago.
Screwing my legs into the ground. I know.
how about your top five as we get ready to go into August here, Cal?
Well, you know, guys, once again, it was pretty easy doing the top two or three teams, but I kept Boston at number five this week. When you're leading the National League or the American League East, you're doing something right. And I like they have, and I know this really hurts, Scott, but doggone it, they have Chris Sale, and he just did for them on the road in Seattle what an ace does. And they didn't have a great road trip, but he comes out, throws a shutout, and get some back with some momentum coming home. Unfortunately, it'll be the Royals they're playing for us anyhow when they get home. But I'm still leaving Boston in there at number five. And then, guys, this team should have been in the top five all year long, and that's the Chicago Cubs. And they're playing well, and once they play well and they start smelling it, they should just continue to keep on rolling. The number three team is I've got the Washington Nationals, and I think – and Mark, you alluded to this. I think that they'll make a move that will really, really push and give some momentum to their ball club, whether it's a starting pitcher or what it's going to be, not sure. But then the top two teams, and not sure these two teams need to make any move. I think Houston could use a starting pitcher, but Houston's at number two, and guys, there is just not a better team in baseball right now than the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, even without Clayton Kershaw, still getting things done at this point. Hey, Cal, appreciate it, and we will talk to you at our regular time next Tuesday. How's that?
I look forward to it. Take care, guys.
You bet. Cal Elder joins us on Tuesdays, did on Thursday for this week And thanks to Cal for helping us out with that. We will take a break, come back, and we'll get you updated on the Iowa Open when we return on the Gym Class, KGYM.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The 2016-2017 sports year was another good one for the Xavier Saints, featuring many state tournament appearances and successes along the way. Special recognition to the boys basketball team, who for the second consecutive season captured the Class 3A state title. Also, congratulations to the boys tennis team, the Class 1A state team tennis champions. The 2017-2018 sports year will be starting soon with boys golf up first with the first round of the Mississippi Valley Conference Super Meet at Ellis on August 10th. The football team kicks off their season on Friday, August 25th at Iowa City Regina. And volleyball begins their campaign Tuesday, August 22nd by hosting Iowa City High.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Your kids can't wait to play football, so sign them up for the Metro Youth Football Association's 2017 season. There's a new flag football program for third graders with pads to introduce tackle techniques with no kid-to-kid contact. Fourth through eighth graders play tackle, and everybody will learn and have a blast. Your child's safety is Metro Youth's first priority, with only high-quality fitted youth equipment and all coaches certified with USA Football. Practice begins August 14th, and equipment fittings have already started. So register now at MetroYouthFootball.com. It's only 42 days until the NFL kicks off the 2017 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every game, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Call 855-MEDIACOM to order now.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Back with you at 3:54, Gym Class for a Thursday. Todd Brabelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next here on KGYM. Going to update you on what's happening at the Iowa Open Tennis Tournament. And Randy Krejci joining us here in studio to tell us about the happenings here for a Thursday.
Got the tarps on the sidelines today.
No need.
Gentlemen, we played everything at the beautiful Veterans Memorial Tennis Center, nothing at Coe College, nothing at Westfield, and yep, no tarps. So we were in great shape. That's probably why we're done with the junior portion right now. But let's take a look at some of the singles that we didn't cover yesterday. Boys 12 and under singles champion Lachlan Gaskill of Fairfield. It was number one against number two, and the number one seed won that. He won over Nicholas Patrick of Coal Valley, Illinois, in straight sets. And then from Cedar Rapids, Clyde Coonan ended up in third place there. Looking at the boys 14 and under singles, we do have a Cedar Rapids champion, Parker Sprague, and he had a dandy for the final. He won a 10-8 super tiebreaker in the third set over Jake Dolphin of Bettendorf for that 14 and under crown. And Dolphin should be a real good player if he does continue and goes on to Bettendorf High School. He'll play for Matt Edwards there as a Bulldog when he does get into high school. Boys 16 and under singles, we actually have the semis and the finals. Sammy Sheets took out Jack Wenzel, and of course Wenzel is the son of Doug Wenzel, a great tennis player in his own right, and Carl Wenzel is the older brother that is playing intercollegiately now. But Sammy Sheets won that semifinal, and then also Luke Von Donzelier, who was the number five seed, he knocked off Sam Shin from Iowa City to reach the final. And then this morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning, Rami Sheets won it all. So he had a great tournament. He won a 10-5 super tiebreaker for the boys 16 and under singles. And boys 18 and under singles, the best player out of Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, Rami Himaden. Of course, he was unseeded, but he defeated John Lansing of Cedar Rapids Xavier fame. And Himaden won 6-0, 6-4. And then Ben Hediger of Linmar finished third. Let's take a look at doubles. Girls 12 and under doubles. The champion, Helen Hendricks of Mission Hills, Kansas, who was runner-up in singles. Well, she teamed up with Katie Schmidt from Prairie Village, Kansas, to win the girls 12 and under title. They defeated Avery Link of Robbins and Leela Strand from North Liberty 8-2 to win that title. Girls 14 and under girls 14 and under doubles, Camilla Ibrahimova from She's from Lincoln, Nebraska. She teamed with Abby Peterson from Ankeny, and they won the girls 14 and under doubles. And both Peterson and Ibrahimova were double winners in this year's state tournament. Girls 16 and under doubles went to Anata Cherenkun and Yana Gaskill of Fairfield, and they won the girls 16 and under doubles. And actually, gentlemen, there were no girls 18 and under doubles. They just didn't have any entries. So we go over to the boys' side of things in 12 and under doubles. Kobe Nin from Edmond, Oklahoma, teamed with Nicholas Patrick, the Coal Valley star, and they won the boys' 12 and under doubles, defeating Gaskill and Peterson 8-5 for that title. Boys' 14 and under doubles, Jake Dolphin rebounded from his singles finals loss, and he teamed with Elijah Young to win the boys' 14 and under doubles, so they were able to beat Parker Sprague and Daniel Liu of West Des Moines for that crown. Boys 16 and under doubles, Luke Von Donslier from Marion. As I mentioned, he plays for Linmar. He teamed with Noah Burmeister of Urbandale, and they were the champions there. They defeated Sam Shin and Jack Wenzel 8-5 for the boys 16 and under doubles crown. And of course, Shin and Wenzel are both from Iowa City. And finally, boys 18 and under doubles, Rusty Graff's probably smiling because two of his returning letter winners next year, they won it all in the 18 and under. Rami Sheets teamed with Ty Sherman, and they were the number two seed, and they took out the number one seed, David Liu and Jacob Panjwani from West Des Moines and Bettendorf, respectively. They won a squeaker 8-6 for the boys 18 and under doubles crown. And one of the things compared to what we used to report, in terms of doubles play in the Iowa Open, they now play an eight-game pro set is all they do for the scoring. And I'm not a big fan of that. Of course, I'm too old. My opinion really doesn't count. But, you know, I think about college tennis. If you're an Iowa player and you're going to Michigan State and traveling all that way, and in doubles you're going to play an eight-game pro set. Of course, they play the normal two out of three with the singles. But, yeah, doubles is a little different. Maybe they're shrinking it down for television purposes, although we weren't on TV. And so kind of an interesting scoring
system. I could almost see it more so for the younger kids than the older age groups.
Well, that's true, too. You're right about that, Mark. And so it's just kind of a different system, and they play that all around the Iowa Tennis Association circuit. And, of course, it's that way in the Missouri Valley also. So a little different scoring that's available now, the way they run run tournaments. But well-run tournament. Calvin Song, of course, was the first-time director of the Iowa Open, and everything went pretty smoothly. And, of course, all the adults are welcoming back your friend Mark Dukes, Mark Fiala, who I would say is the best male tennis player to ever come out of Cedar Rapids Prairie. And, of course, he's so old, I don't want to mention the fact that we're the same age, but he's so old that when he played, they used white tennis balls, and there was no such thing as a tiebreaker. So you always had to win by two, even if you went 17-15. So,
didn't she grab his wife a time or two for a double, mixed doubles?
Well, yes.
Or what?
She played with me a few times, and we had a great time. Yeah. Of course, she's the former Mary Groh, played up at Mason City, and so... I don't know if she still has any relatives there that play baseball, but of course they got to stay overnight and try to play baseball this morning against West Des Moines Dowling. I heard you guys talking about that at 9 a.m., and so Dowling's moving on there. But good week of tennis, and there's still more to go, and we'll finish up with the adults by Sunday afternoon.
So. All right, we'll check in tomorrow one more time. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it. All right, it's going to wrap things up here for this edition of the Gym Class. Mark, we'll see you coming up tomorrow.
Sounds
with Kevin
great.
Lehman.
You bet.
All right, stay tuned. Tom Baramelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow beginning at 3.
Friday prices, like up to 60% off brands like Stafford, J4R, Foundry, and more, including big and tall sizes. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
How good is Quaker State Motor Oil? It's been called a leader in wear protection and the heart.